Okay, well, hey, everybody, if you're just coming in, grab a couple of handouts there and come and have a seat. And we want to get rolling because we're going to have lots of fun in here today. I know parenting is one of the toughest jobs in the whole world, right? How do I hear an amen? And if you're a single parent and you're in here today, you even beat that, because single parenting would be the toughest job in the whole world. And so I want to welcome you, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, single parent, if you're aunt, uncle, work with kids in school, whatever, you're going to glean something here today that will help you in wherever you're working with children. And yeah, you having a good time so far at the conference? Good opening. And well, this one, I'm not exactly a slow talker, okay? This is normally a two-hour seminar, and we're going to try and get it done in 40 minutes. And so we'll see how we do, right? You know how on your phone you can turn it up to 1.5, 2, the speed? You might feel like that a little bit in here today, but I've got so many good things to give you today that have helped parents through the years as I've taught this stuff and I used it. Nothing's new under the sun, right? None of this is my original material, but you just glean what works and then you want to share it. And that's what it's all about today. So just pray with me before we start. God, I thank you for each person in the room here. I thank you for each parent who cares about their child and they want to do a better job as a parent. I thank you for grandparents, aunts and uncles, teachers, those that wish to have children, are preparing for children. God, I thank you for everybody in this room that has a hungry heart to learn and to grow. And I pray that out of all the material we're going to share, you would deposit in them the things that they need today, the things that will be the most helpful. And there will not be a feeling of overwhelmedness, but a feeling of, wow, I just get to mine through all this and see what will help me the best. So just come with your Holy Spirit. Help us to learn and receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to get rolling. Do we still have enough handouts over there? Hopefully. I'm going to tell you right now that at the end, because I might forget, In my past life, who I am, first of all, my name is Bobby Bucknam, and I am on staff here at Northwoods. I am a teaching associate in the Life Help Department. The thing that I'm most known for is teaching the class called Doing What Jesus Did. Do we have any Doing What Jesus Did people in the room? All right. And we have lots of fun in there. And so it's my privilege to get to teach you today on the whole topic of parenting. Before I came to Northwoods, I still am a nationally certified parent trainer. And so I would do seminars called Smart Discipline, where I would help parents come up with a plan to kind of get their household a little more manageable with kids. And who can use that, right? If you got kids, you can use that probably. And I also did some in-home. Did you ever see The Nanny on TV? Okay, that's what I did. I went to people's homes, and within a few sessions, I just helped them learn how to gain control and how to have a more positive time. I have a sign-up sheet at the back there. There are no guarantees. I am not doing this right now. I don't have time. But in the future, if I have time within the next year or something opens up for me and I can do a little bit of parent coaching, I charge for it, you can sign up back there and I would be happy to just give you information. You're not obligated, but I just come to your home for an hour, and usually after 2 to 3 times, you're seeing a noticeable difference in how your children are responding to you. So I just want to throw that so I don't forget, and that's at the back. All right. Scream-free parenting. When I put this on my neighborhood thread, you know, to my neighbors out, and one of them said, is there such a thing? And how many of you can relate, right? Is there anybody in here? I have screamed at my children. Is there anybody in here who has never screamed at your children? Just raise your hand. We want to know who you are, okay? And if you haven't and you're afraid, come up and just whisper to me later, because you must have an amazing personality to be able to withstand the pressure to never have once yelled at your children. Full disclaimer, I have sworn at my children. I am a good Christian woman, and I have used the S word at my child. I'm not kidding. They just can get to you, can't they? And you do it, and you think, what is wrong with me? I'm the worst person in the world. I'm a terrible parent. And you feel all the shame and guilt. Somehow it's just nice to know that other people do it too, isn't it? So we're not excusing it. We're not saying it's okay to swear at your children, yell at your children. We're just here today to talk, hopefully, to give you some great ideas on how to be more scream-free in your home and have a happier home. We have three children, a little bit of background on me. Our children are all empty nesters out of the home. We've got grandchildren now. And it's so fun to watch the same patterns now as my daughter starts to parent her children. She has three boys, and we just had the girl. So they're 7, 5, and 3, and a baby. That's a full household. They're homeschooling. They both work. It's crazy, right? And when they come to grandma's house, they're a little more, you know, next generation parenting. They're a little, you know, a little more concerned about their feelings. And they go, not like I never was, right? Don't pay me that. But I'm a little more, if you're an Enneagram person, I'm an 8, okay? So I'm going to take charge, make sure things run right. No excuses. Let's get the program going. And my daughter and her husband, they're very consistent. They do a great job raising their children, but they're a little more, you know, on that gentle side or whatever. But Oliver, the 5-year-old, we have fun, right? Because he's that one, right? And so I've talked with my daughter and her husband and said, what do we do about Oliver at my house when I'm in charge and you're gone or whatever? And they've given me permission to do what I need to do to get him in control. And you know what? The same things that worked with my children still work with Oliver in the next generation, because these are timed principles that last over the generations, because they come really from the scripture. So when we can find, they may look a little bit different in how you walk them out, and that's okay, because you're a different person than I am. My children are different people than I am, and they're doing a great job with the way they do it. It's a little bit different than me, but their kids are going to be great. And so today, we're just going to talk about some of those things. Our oldest child, Jessica, was the perfect one. How many of you have that perfect firstborn who just wants to do it all right? They're like a little adult, and they have all the rules, and they're aghast if they do something wrong. How many of you have a kid like that? Okay. How many of you have the second one who is more compliant, but they want to be different, and so they're a little more funny, or they certainly are more creative. They pick a different path than the first one because they know they can't live up to the first one, so they might as well find a different way to do life. How many of you have one of those? Okay. And then if you are blessed with a third or more, that third one is the one that throws the kink in the wrench, right? You're just like, you had 2 parents, 2 hands. Now you got 3 kids, 2 parents, and you just don't know what to do because the third one kind of runs the show. You know, they just take over and they know what they can get away with. They watch the system and they figure you well out. And they come out with a little manual inside that says, get mom this way, get dad this way. And they have you figured out and they know exactly what buttons to push in order to make you crazy. And that's when you scream. Right? So we have all of those. Kelsey, our youngest, allows me to tell her story. She is high-end ADHD, has sensory disorder. And in those days, she's 33 now, we didn't have near the resources and understanding that you have. Fortunately, my husband is a therapist, and he was able to kind of catch on to some of this stuff and grasp some tools for her. But I'm telling you, we went through some years where I could not get her to school because she couldn't get her clothes on. And she'd be screaming and throwing fits on the floor. When we came to Northwoods, we've been here on staff twice. My husband has. This is my first time on staff, but we attended here. We lived in Peoria 2 times. First time when we were here, we were meeting over in Notre Dame, and they used to have the big table with the cookies. And Kelsey was this little pipsqueak, and she loved sugar. Doesn't that make sense, right? Self-medicating already. And so she would run up to the table and she'd get her cookies and then she'd come back and say, Mommy, can I have another one? And I'd say, well, how many have you had? She'd say, well, just one. And she's probably lying. I'd say, you can have one more. So she'd go eat her cookie and then she'd want another one. And I'd say, oh, honey, you can't have more than 2. That's all. And boom, she's on the floor screaming and yelling. And my husband's on staff, all right? It's a little embarrassing. So people are milling around. They're starting to look. And I look down at her and go, my goodness, whose child is that? And just walk away. You got to have your strategies, right? So anyway, that's our family. And they have all grown up. I just let to give you hope, all right? This is Kelsey, who, oh, now I lost it. Here we go. So she has worked hard at her ability to function in the world because it's tough. Thankfully, she has a good brain, and she was able to get through school. The homework was a little bit of a challenge, but this was her note to me a few days ago. "Hello, wonderful mother." I almost started crying, almost when I read that. "I have weekly reminders to pray for individual family members and wanted to check in and see if there's anything specific I can be praying about for you." That was my reaction. I mean, she's a lovely person, but for her to be that organized in the first place is a living miracle. And then for her to she's in such a healthy place now that she can be looking outside of herself. She's not just trying to survive anymore, right? All her energy went into surviving. And so to hear that coming from my daughter is not just a blessing for me, but it's because I know what a blessing it is for her. So there's hope. Hang in. She's only 33. It'll be all right, okay? You can wake 33. All right. I want to find out who we've got here very quickly. How many of you have children ages 5 and under? Put your hands up. All right. I know why you're here. Bless you. All right. So you're the ones that want 5 minutes alone in the bathroom, right? And you want one, just three. Three. You take three, two, one. Okay. You walk with a permanent limp because there's always a child attached to one leg, right? You can never have a phone call uninterrupted. And you dream of someone coming up to you and just saying, "Your children are so darling. Could I just take them for the weekend?" Okay, that never happened to me. Never, not once. All right. How many of you have children ages 6 through 11? You may be raising your hand more than once, right? 6 through 11. Okay. These are the lawyers of America. They know exactly all the rules according to them and what they think they heard you say, and they will argue with you until you understand what is correct, right? And so you also are the meanest parents in the world because you have to tell them that is not what I said, and have you got your homework done? Did you take the dog out? Did you hang your jacket up? They're at that age where they're supposed to be learning some self-skills of management, and they're just probably not that interested. And so their favorite line usually is, "Well, that's not fair," right? You heard that before, so my thoughts are with you. Okay, how about you? Do any of you in this room have 12 to 18-year-olds? All right. We're just going to have a moment of silence for these parents, okay? If one is sitting beside you, be very gentle. Don't touch them. Don't just be really nice to them because they are in the throes of raising children. This is the last stage, and you've heard Mark Twain's advice, haven't you, to parents of children. He said, when a child turns 13, he should be put in a barrel and fed through a knot hole. When the child turns 16, just close up the knot hole. So, all right. So that's the stage you're in. And it's not my job to calm the waters for you, but it is my job to help you build a stronger boat today. And that's what we're going to do. All right. So I have some notes on why it's smart to be a biblical parent, but I think Gary did a good job on that. So I'm going to leave that with you, and we're going to jump right into some smart ideas for parenting. On your handout, this is where we're going to begin. So Jesus, help us. The two keys to parenting are love and control. Love and control. Too much love, and by love, I don't mean I love you so much. I mean erring on that side of permissiveness, right? Like, what do you want to do? And oh, honey, like there's good with love, but too much love permissiveness is not healthy for a child. It causes them to have to be undisciplined and spoiled, honestly, because the loving part is always saying yes to them and always letting them participate in decisions and always giving them a lot of leeway. And so sometimes they end up being used to getting their own way all the time and always having a say. I had a friend tell me they were looking for a house and they took their daughter along with them and they said, we want to know what you think. And she walked in, she said, "Well, I don't like this one. We can't buy it." And her mom said, "Well, we'll take your opinion into account, but mommy and daddy make the decision." And she went, "What? You would buy a house if I said we shouldn't?" And she said, "We might." And That's the kind of kid we're talking about here, okay? Sometimes they come by it because of the way you've parented. Sometimes they're just born that way, right? And they come in with that kind of personality. Then there are those where the parenting spectrum where you have too much control. So if you have too much love on one side, or sometimes you can have too much control. So this would be where my friend Josh probably is, because we chatted a little bit earlier today, where he's, are you an Enneagram 8, maybe? An Enneagram 8. Do you know about the Enneagram? You should look that up. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's kind of fun. Personality styles, whatever. But anyway, too much control, and sometimes kids can feel unloved because they feel like you're not even hearing them or listening to them. So they have a sense of lack of self-worth and a lack of self-confidence. Because if you're making all the decisions for them, they never learn how. Make sense? I was that kid. My dad was very authoritarian. So he made all the decisions, and we just had to line up like little ducks in a row. I mean, he did have 6 kids. Can you blame him? And 5 of us were girls. The first 5 were girls. The poor, really? And then we had the hallelujah son 6 years later, you know. But anyway, too much love, you get permissiveness. Too much love, spoiled and undisciplined. Too much control, lack of self-worth and confidence. So children really are, don't be offended by this. Children really are like wild animals. All right. Have you ever had a dog? Anybody bought a puppy and had to train a puppy? Okay. Same principles go for children. Do you sit and explain to your dog why he cannot poop on the living room carpet? There is no discussion involved, right? He poops, you go, no, and you put him outside. And you do it over and over and over and over. And you think, when is this stupid dog going to learn that he doesn't poop on the, right? That's the same feelings with parenting. That repetitive system that we have to use in order to train our kids. I'm just telling you, if you're in that phase, please hang in. Because if you give up, then your kids have won the battle. And they will. They'll hold on as long as they can to the control that they have. And if we lose our consistency, we lose the battle. So, wild animals, you just keep the fences in place and keep repeating and keep doing the same thing over and over. And eventually, my daughter, they were just visiting last weekend, and her 7 and 5-year-old, I mean, when they would come, you know, they live in Chicago, so when they come, they stay overnight, usually for at least 2 nights. And at Christmas, we have them like 7 days, you guys. I am a good grandma. And our house isn't huge, but we have a lot of action in there. They are boys. And so where was I going with that? Yeah, she said when we came this time, it was amazing the difference with their level of obedience and responsiveness. And I said, Jess, it's happening. And she goes, I know, I'm almost afraid to believe that we might be out of that phase with them. But they got 2 more coming up. And little Silas, who's almost 3, is just starting to do that, throw himself on the floor and shriek for all he's worth when he doesn't get his way. So every kid is going to go through it, right? And we just have to remain consistent. 2 essential rules for parenting. And these are really important, you guys. No emotion and no reasoning. The way our kids win over us is when we buy into the emotion and get upset because of what they've done. And that's what they're after. You know that. That's their plan. It's in the rule book. Just push all the buttons until your parents go crazy. That's what they're after. Because then they get that emotional response from you, and there's some satisfaction in that. It feels like, I won. I got control. I made my parents go off the, you know, to the Looney Tunes chart. But what they don't realize is that in what we don't realize is that when a child wins that way, they don't really win, do they? Because they don't have enough maturity to make decisions that need to be made for them at their age. You're the parent. You're supposed to be making a lot of those decisions for them in those early years. And this is what a lot of this stuff is focusing on, the early years, and carries through. It changes a little bit as they get older, right? You're not going to use the same techniques with a 3-year-old that you're going to use with an 11-year-old. It's going to change. But they need to know. It makes them secure to know that you're in control. It's like handing over a big, what's a gun? Somebody give me a big gun, like a shotgun. It's like handing over a shotgun to a 3-year-old and saying, here, honey, why don't you go out in the backyard and have some fun? I mean, they're just not ready for life, right? And so if you hand over too many decisions, they're not ready for it. What they need to learn is how to obey, how to listen and be respectful in their responses to you. Those are the things they need to learn early on. And then those will carry you through as they get to the older years, where you won't have to be dealing with, I feel so sorry for parents that don't understand these principles. And so they don't get them locked in when the kids are little. Now you can do it. Like if you do this with 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, you're going to be in great shape as they grow up. It doesn't mean you won't have any problems, but you will drastically limit the number of altercations you have with your children because they already know the system. They know that mom and dad are in charge and I better obey or there will be consequences and it won't be pretty for me. If they don't know that and they're 15, 16, 17 and they're acting like a 3-year-old because they were never taught how to be respectful and they say, I want the car keys and they grab them and run out the door and you're going, get back in here, because your voice has no authority because you never taught them that when they were little. Make sense? So this should be giving you great hope. That so many of you have little ones, and if you aren't on the program yet with establishing that authority, now is the time to do it, and you'll get great rewards as you're consistent, all right? So no emotion, because that's when they win, and no reasoning. There's so many parents that feel like we need to explain everything to our children, okay? It's time to get your coat on, honey. Well, why? Well, because we're going to go to the store and get groceries. Well, why? Well, because we need food. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Like, you, right? You just get so, and they do go through a why stage, and there's some, you know, healthiness to that. But when they're saying it, and you know they're saying it just to because they don't want to obey, they're stalling, they're pushing. It's a push technique, right? Take it to be in control. If you learn how to not reason with your child, but some of the stuff I'm going to teach you today, just repeat the command and expect first-time obedience, or there's a consequence, your life will get so much easier. It might get a lot harder. This is what might happen. If you're here, you can't see this very well, I know, but just pretend you can see it. Okay, there's 1 in 10 pain level, and you're at like a 7 with your kids. Like it's really, you're in a hard place. Nothing's going well at home. And if you start using these principles, the pain level is going to go up. Why? They're going to fight it. They're going to fight it. They go, oh, mom and dad went to that parenting seminar. What are they going to bring home now? I'm going to make sure they don't win. So they're going to push. They're going to stop you on every turn, right? And so the pain level will go up. But if you're consistent, they'll start to understand, oh, it's not going to work. No matter how hard I try, they are sticking to their guns. And as you stick to your guns and the pain level eventually this will start to drop and it'll go way below where you were over here. Make sense? So I tell you that because you're likely going to get some resistance if you start to put these in place, but it will pay off. All right, so I'm going to do a quick illustration with my friend Josh, just because I know you'll cooperate with me, because you're kind of an extroverted kind of guy, right? Okay, so Josh, I saw you driving to church today, and like, I don't mean to out you, but you were speeding, all right? You were just speeding, and you were going, this isn't true, right? I never saw him. True confession, he was speeding, okay. So why don't you just come and stand up here? Maybe pull your chair up, because that's part of the illustration, yeah. So Josh was speeding. I saw him and I'm just like, wow. Okay. So you're in your car and I just happen to be a police officer. And so I'm going to come up and have a conversation with Josh about what I've just noticed. Roll down your window. Okay. And what else are you supposed to do?
Why'd you stop him? Two and four.
So I can see your hands. Doesn't anybody know anything? All right. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, I saw you driving. I just wondering where you're in such a hurry. Where you go off to today?
Well, my kid wouldn't get dressed quick enough this morning. I was yelling at him all morning long.
Yeah, I don't care how it went with your kid. I want to know where you're going.
I'm going to church.
You're going to church? Oh, church. We got a church one. Great. A church one that speeds, by the way. Clocked you going 30 over here on Allen. You know what that means?
get a break from my children for a couple days in jail?
You get a break. Did you hear me? I get a break from my children for a couple days in jail. No, actually, what that means is I'm going to have a talk with you, Josh, because I've seen you before up and down here, you know, and this isn't the first time I've seen you speed. I've seen you speed over and over and over, and I know you must know that there's a big sign there. Did you see the sign? It says 30 miles an hour, and here you are going 60 up alley. Do you know how unsafe that is? Do you know how many children you could have ran over and lost their lives? How many parents' lives you could have ruined by doing this? What is the matter with you? Don't talk to me when I'm talking to you. What is the matter with you? That's what I'd like to know. What do you have to say for yourself, young man?
He says,
you sound like my mother. Okay. Is that how a police officer would normally interact with someone they've stopped who is speeding? Of course not. Of course not. Why not?
You know the rule. Here's your ticket.
Exactly. Let me just show you. You know what that means? Do you know what this means?
You're the sheriff.
I'm the sheriff. So you gonna mess with me? Why not?
Because I know the rule, I don't want a ticket.
Because he knows the rule, and he doesn't want a ticket, right? And how would I look if I came up and started talking like your mother like that to you? What would you think of me as a police officer?
That you don't know the rules?
That I don't know the rules. And I'm mean, not very in control. If I feel like I have to use a lot of emotion and a lot of reasoning to get my point across. Can we give Josh a hand? He did a great job. Thank you. You get a free book for letting me yell at you. There you go. But you know what? Every parent in this room, you have a badge. It's a God-given badge, and you've been given authority over your children to raise them and to teach them in the ways that God wants them to behave, to raise them up to be healthy, well-adjusted citizens and individuals. So you don't have to argue with them. You don't have to reason with them. You don't have to prove your point. You are the authority. Some of you needed to hear that today, okay? So from that premise, we go further into 9 ways to be a great parent. Start with, you know what? I'm going to jump to something else. I don't know where it is in here, but we'll get to it. But anyway, it just fits so well with this story, okay? I'm going to tell you how to do a command and get a response right away. All right? How many of you are so tired of saying things over and over and over and your kid's not listening to you? Okay? Well, the reason your children don't listen to you is it's really not their fault, right? We need to take responsibility for that as parents. It's because we've trained them not to listen to us. Okay? Your kid is downstairs watching TV and you yell down the stairs, "Hey, Samantha, hey, Ricky, it's time to come up to get ready for bed." And what do Ricky and Samantha do? They do nothing, right? They keep watching TV. So what do as parents? We lean down and we become a screamer, right? A yeller. "Samantha, Ricky, I told you it's time to come and get ready for bed, and come right now." And what do Ricky and Samantha do? They do nothing, because they know it's only on the third time that you really get amped up and that they better do something. This is their history, and they know it well. And so, on the third time, they hear this. Now, what does that tell them? You mean business this time. You mean business. So you come up to them. This is why you shouldn't sit in the front row, but anyway. "Samantha, Ricky, how many times did I tell you to come upstairs? Now get off your butt and let's go." Okay. Now, is that a parenting moment where you feel like, "I wish everyone could have seen that. I feel so good about myself as a parent. And if only people would watch me, they would know how to parent their kids," right? I have felt that so many times when I go, "Oh, it's a good thing I live, you know, without glass walls, right? So people can't see." But anyway, then the outcome is usually your kids at that point, they'll make some movement. Maybe not. I mean, it depends on the kid, right? And how defiant they are, how whatever they are. But that is not an effective way to get your child to respond. And it's not a way that we're proud of when we do it either, right? And so, this is what I suggest. It's so simple. I used it on my kids. I now use it on my grandchildren. And it's amazing the response that you will get. But what you're doing is you're establishing your authority. All right? So you sit down with them and you have a separate conversation when nobody's upset about anything. You didn't just have an altercation. And you say, we're going to have a little family meeting and we want to let you know that something's going to change around here. We're going to start using a method where we're going to expect you to obey on the first time when we give you a command. Now, I'll tell you in a little bit how to give a good command. Remind me about that, Amy, if I don't. And when we tell you it's time to put your shoes on, and you say, okay, you need to do it right then. I'm not going to wait two or three or four more times. You need to do it right then. If you don't do it on the first time, I'm going to say that's two. That's all I'm going to say. Because I already told you what to do. You don't need to hear it again. I'm just going to say that's two. And when I do that to you and use your fingers, that's two, then you know if you don't obey, then there's a consequence. You're going to get put in timeout. You're going to get some, whatever you feel you want to use as a consequence. All right? So they're going to test you on this at first. So what you're doing is training them. You have to train them. So you give the command. They're supposed to put their shoes on. They don't do it. You go, that's two. They still don't do it. Well, then you better follow through. The reason they don't do anything is because we don't follow through, right? We're tired. We're laying on the couch finally at the end of the day. It's our favorite TV show, whatever it is. You guys, I'm just asking you, please put your children's development ahead of your own tiredness. We're all so tired these days, aren't we? But I'm telling you, the gift that you will give them, if you will invest this way, will not only make your life easier with them in the long run, but they will turn into really healthy, well-adjusted people because they've learned the muscle of self-discipline. So many kids these days are not learning how to use self-discipline. They're given so many times over and over and over, and everybody gets a sucker. Everybody wins. Everybody, all this stuff. It makes me crazy, okay? Everybody doesn't win in the world. Only one person got the job. And you know who they're going to pick? They're going to pick a person who has self-discipline. Only one person didn't cheat there on their wife. You know why? Because they learned self-discipline and they moved their eyes from the other woman back to their wife. These are important things we're dealing with, people. And sometimes when kids are little, we don't think it's a big deal. But these turn into big life decisions that they will either do well on or not. And I know everybody in this room, you want your kids to have that ability to make great life decisions that will be healthy for them and healthy for others, right? So over and over and over, you're going to use that. Give the command, that's two. You don't even say that's three, because three is time out. So let me tell you what this looks like. Giving a good command means, oh man, we're not going to get through half of this, but this is the most important stuff, okay? Need a drink. You'll often need a drink when you're parenting, right? All right. We're a Christian church. All right. So giving a good command means that you get the child's attention. Sometimes we'll go, okay, put your shoes on, Johnny. And you don't know if he heard you or not, right? Especially if they're upstairs or wherever. So you need to get the child's attention. That means you get their eye contact and have them look at you. You know, Elena. And Elena's playing. And I go, Elena, look at me. And Elena finally looks at me and I go, it's time to put your shoes on. Now you don't have to say please. Because you're the parent, and you wear a badge. The policeman doesn't say please. He just tells you what to do. If you're at the dinner table and you want the peas, then you say, please pass the peas, because it's good manners. But when you're the parent, you don't have to have a please. Can you clap for that? I'm so tired of parents feeling like they're asking their children to obey like it's a good manners thing. It's not. You're in control. So, Elena, put your shoes on. And Elena doesn't. And I go, Elena, that's two. I have her look at me. Elena, that's two. Now, Elena right then has her decision because she knows now. She's been doing this for a couple weeks. She knows if she doesn't obey, she's going to get a timeout. So she doesn't obey. So I go, oh, Elena, sweetheart, it's time to put your shoes on. You need to put them on and then come with mommy. You're going to have a timeout. And then I take her to a timeout, right? Now, do you guys know how to do a good timeout? It's really important. All right, just come with me. Elena, come with me. All right, you're in timeout.
I would have put my shoes on.
I know you would have because I can feel... I can feel that you are a compliant child just by your very nature, but today you're
people
not.
People pleaser.
People pleaser. There. Okay, so Elena's in timeout. You're going to have to act like you're not really, because you'd be so ashamed right now. You'd be crying, right, that you got in a timeout. How many of you have those kind of kids? They're so, they'd just be mortified that they got in a timeout. How many of you have kids that go, so what? Yeah, right? So she's in timeout. I'm going to tell her she has to keep her feet on the floor. If she's on a chair, she cannot lift the legs of the chair and do stuff like this. Cannot bang on the wall. Timeout starts over if you do that. I will start the clock over. And I have a timer, and it's going, okay? And she knows that. Oh, I'm going to have to start. No emotion, no reasoning. I don't have to explain to her what I'm doing. I'm the parent. I'm in charge. So you do that, I'm adding another minute because you had your feet off the floor. So you're not allowed to touch things. Okay, I'm starting the timer over, okay? Then at the end of the timeout, I have a conversation with Elena, honey, I love you so much. Do you know what happened? Yo, look at her. Okay. You don't need very many timeouts, do you? So I say, Elena, just let's revisit why you're in here. Do you remember mommy told you to put your shoes on? And I said, that's two, and you still didn't do it. So then you get a timeout, right? Okay, so are you ready to be obedient?
Yes.
Yeah, of course she's going to say yes, okay? Now, you might have a child not like Elena who's going to go, yes. You can feel it. There's a little kid once who said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know who you got one like that, right? So they're not ready to be obedient. So they're not coming out of this chair till they are compliant. Till they're compliant. Because there's a contest going on and who's going to win, okay? And so I'd say, you know, Elena, I sense in your spirit you're not willing to be obedient yet. So I'm going to give, oh, yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. No. I'm going to give you another 30 seconds. And then you just walk away, you know? And if she starts banging on the wall, okay, you got another 30 seconds. Stop the feet. Another 30 seconds for doing that. I'll be back. And you just keep doing it as many times as you have to do it. At the beginning, pain level's going to go up, people. Because you're establishing or reestablishing your control. But once you've got it, now with like Oliver or Everett, my grandsons, I just have to say to them, that's two. And it's amazing. They just kind of go like this, like, uh-oh, she means business, right? And it's just a reminder for them. Thank you so much, Elena. You're sweet. You're good. I love you. I love you. You're okay. Here. There's your reward. Okay. All right. Okay, this is ridiculous. We have like 5 minutes, you guys. If that's all I left you with today, I'd be happy. Honestly, if you have children 3 through 11, this works for all of them, okay? Teenagers, you know, my teenager, I still used to go, that's two. And we'd laugh and they'd get the message, right? Because if you've ingrained it and instilled it, it's good. But what I want to do in the last 5 minutes is kind of talk, I want to hear from you. If you have something that you're wrestling with or a question that you have, let's talk about that. All right? Yes.
So I'm an Enneagram 2.
Okay. Okay.
We have a 15-month-old daughter. I'm going to struggle with the no emotion because I'm a deep feeler.
Yes.
Thoughts on how to, like, team parent in that aspect, because my husband is, like, an 8. This doesn't make sense for you to cry right now. Why are you crying?
Yes. And you're going to be, oh, sweetheart, what's going on? What's going on? They're both needed.
Me and him, when I cry, he's like, why? I don't.
Yeah. So they're both needed, right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean we want to ignore our children's emotions. Emotions are very important. And we want to be loving and kind with them. But we just don't want to be mad in the middle of our disciplining, right? And so you're maintaining your emotion and getting under control your own anger and your own frustration, and try not to let that come out when you're trying to get compliance with your children, right? If you need to, you may have to walk away. Say, you know what, mommy's feeling really angry right now, and so I just need a few minutes, but I want you to stay in your room, and we'll talk about this when I come back in a few minutes. And walk away. Walk away. Don't end up wailing on your kid because you lost it. Right? If you've had abuse in your background, any kind of physical abuse, or be really, really careful. in how you're talking to and how you, I got a whole section on spanking we're not going to get into. I'm a believer in spanking, but I'm not a believer in hitting. And a lot of people think that spanking is hitting, and they're two different things. Spanking is a pre-warned. The child knows it's coming. You say, I'm going to, you know what, Nathan? I'm going to have to give you a spanking for that because you were disobedient. So I want you to turn around. Here we go. Like, they know it's coming, and I'm not screaming. I'm not yelling. It's a consequence. If you don't feel comfortable spanking, use different forms of discipline, but just use forms that will work for you. Okay. Yes. I don't have a book. This is it. Okay. Yes.
So during my timeout, I have two boys.
Yes.
So it's a two-part question. So does the timer not stop until they're sitting there quietly? Because I have a two-year-old that just sits there and screams and keeps getting up and down and up and down.
Yeah, the two-year-old that screams.
Like, I need a hug. Do I give him a hug after the timeout?
Yes. After the timeout. I mean, you can go and say, I will give you a hug as soon as we're through the timeout. But they're sitting in the timeout. They use their emotion as a manipulative control thing. The two-year-old will sit in the timeout. Amy, have you done this with me before? We show how you get a two-year-old to sit in the chair, or a 16-year-old if they want to. If you can grab, this is a very important hold to know. If you can grab their opposite arms and go like this. Okay, try and get away from me. It's really effective, and she's not a two-year-old, right? But, okay, it's you just got to get, yeah, wrap up. Thanks, Chris. You got to get that, maintain that control and teach them, no, you need to sit. And if you have to hold them there for their whole timeout, mission accomplished.
Even if they're screaming, the timer just doesn't.
Yeah, it's not great. You want to work toward them not screaming. The first thing is just getting them to sit in the chair. Say, okay, next time, no screaming.
Is it okay for the first timeout ever to be 40 minutes long?
Yeah, if you have to take 30 to 40 minutes to win your spot as the person with the badge, then go ahead and do it. Right? Now, I don't want you screaming at them. I don't want you yelling at them. I don't want you hitting at them. You just need to win the battle. And then all this other stuff flows out of there. Okay? One more, and then we got to go.
The example that you gave us, my kids usually do it when we need to leave.
Oh, of course they do. Yes. Yes. So. Yeah, you know what? You've done a really good job today. Good job. Good job. That's a really good question. Yes. Yes. Okay. We got to wrap up. So, some people in the front row got a gold coin right now. I don't know. It's real. Okay. Just kidding. But I use these as a positive reinforcement method. Unfortunately, today we only had time to talk about kind of dealing with the negative behavior, but you don't want that to be your focus, right? And so the hooray jar is a little printout that you got, and I use just little poker chips that you can get at the store. You buy a pack of these, and you get an old jar at home and let your kids decorate it, and then read that through. It's very self-explanatory, but that's what you want to be doing with your kids. At the end, you talk to them before you go and say, now I've noticed at the end, you guys have a hard time. We're going to leave tonight. When it's time to leave, I want you to leave without any complaining. And you know what? You might get a chip if you do that. Now, they're not allowed to ask for chips, but these are things that you randomly start giving out to them when they're not expecting it. Because usually, when do we pay attention to our kids? When they're misbehaving. So they get the attention that they want from you by misbehaving. We want to reverse that. We're the parents. We're in control. We want it to be a positive relationship. So you start handing out little chips. At first, you hand out a lot, and then you taper it off, and they never know when they're coming. If they ask for one, they don't get one. If they lose one, you don't give them another one. But they can collect them in their jar, and then you make a chart that shows them what they can get for their chips. And there's examples on that sheet that'll teach you that. This is a very effective way of gaining compliance without having to use timeouts and spankings and that kind of stuff, because you're motivating them with positive reinforcement. Excellent little tool that we use, and I'm not kidding, it works wonders, okay? Spending time with your kids one-on-one. I've put far too many things on this, and now you go away feeling like, I only got half, you know what I mean? But if you take what you heard today, that is the most important principle of raising children, is wearing your badge with love, calling out the good in your kids, positive reinforcement, but making sure that you're the one who's the boss and teaching them that skill of self-discipline so that they'll be able to make decisions when you're not around that will be healthy and good. And they'll be leaders in our community. They'll be leaders in our church to do the right thing and not just follow the crowd because they learned how to obey you at home. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you. God, give these parents mercy. They need it in this day and age as we raise kids. And I pray that you would give them insight and wisdom as they go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming.